You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Monday, January 9th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson. The King, Scott Angle, Tony Cincata as well. It's a Monday morning, and it's an exciting Monday morning because it's January 9th, headed to the division round of the playoffs, and 3 hours, which means we get the three sports today, folks. We got football, a little basketball, a little baseball, do a whole potpourri of stuff on this morning. Scotty, what's going on, my man?
Hello, everybody. Had a nice weekend. Went to the movies and watched a lot of football.
So I feel like the excitement level was up here, and then you kind of just brought it down here. Like, it's Monday! We're back!
That's cool. I had an enjoyable weekend, though. I'm relaxed.
Good. I'm glad. How was Rogue One?
Rogue One was solid. I very much enjoyed it.
Okay.
You know, got used to some new characters, but, seeing some classic characters was very cool. Enjoyed the movie. It was a solid job.
Tremendous. Corey, yeah. What's going on, my man?
What's the deal, Greg? How's everything going?
Everything's okay.
How'd that work out with the trip?
You know what? The trip actually worked out better than as well as I possibly could have hoped for.
Yeah.
I watched like 3/4 of the Raiders and the Texans, which whatever, who cares?
Okay.
Then I watched the whole second half of the next game, Seattle and Detroit.
Okay.
Again, whatever, who cares? Then I watched the entire second half of Pittsburgh, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
whatever,
who cares? And then I was able to watch the entire Giants game, which
whatever.
Again, whatever, who cares?
Who cares?
So I wish I could have seen nothing this weekend. Instead, I watched almost the entire. You know, I watched at least a half of every game, and I didn't really need to watch anything because none of it was very enjoyable. It was a bad weekend of football.
Yeah, I can understand that situation. Of course, we saw all the home teams get decisive victories.
Decisive, yeah.
Decisive victories this week. We kind of expected that from 3 of the 4 games. The one that we expected to be the closest game,
yeah,
actually ended up being the biggest blot of the week in essence.
Unbelievably enough, yeah. You know, it's funny because after the Giants game yesterday, let's get into this first because it's where my head's at. Obviously, I wasn't like despondent or pissed off or frustrated. I was like, you know what? Like, defense, I was told all year that good defense beats good offense. I'm kind of off of that now, by the way. You know, most of the first half outside of the Hail Mary, like, it was great for the Giants, right? Like, they kept Aaron Rodgers, like, at bay, like, we haven't seen in months. But the Achilles heel for this Giants team, and I think we knew it all along, was the offense. You cannot score 13 points in Green Bay and have any shot of winning. I understand they allowed 38 points, it was all said and done, but, you know, things change. The defense isn't on the field all game. And it was. And when you give Aaron Rodgers so much time, he's going to carve you up. There's nothing that you're going to be able to do about it. This Giants offense simply was not good enough. When you have Odell Beckham Jr. dropping touchdowns, dropping first downs, doing absolutely nothing, and we said it all year, Corey, he is the offense. When he's not doing anything, Giants aren't going to do anything. I actually thought Eli played a really good game for the most part. You know, he had some mistakes late, but for the most part, this loss isn't on him by any means.
Nope.
This loss is on special teams, which gave the Giants no shot. It's on Odell Beckham Jr. It's on Ben McAdoo's continuous horrific play calling. The fact is, Giants were not a better team. Packers were a better team, as it turned out. First half, I didn't say that, but they deserve to lose the game. I think the Giants are still an up-and-coming team. I still feel good about the prospects next year, but hats off to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers got the job done yesterday, Greg. I mean, really, you're seeing that offense come together, click at the right time.
Yes, sir.
Even without Jordy Nelson, as they continue to, at one point, like they were getting healthy, they lose Jordy. And with the Giants side of the football, you see the inconsistency in the running game. No way to have balance on the offense. Not to mention the fact of when you get a poor game from Odell, the Giants almost seemingly don't have any shot.
Yep.
And this is why that boat trip, no matter what people say,
it's not an issue.
Greg,
you think Odell being in Miami contributed to dropping 3 passes?
No.
Didn't help.
It didn't help. Tony's right.
It didn't mean anything.
Troy Aikman was saying during the game
that Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were joking about that, by the way.
It's not a good look. He said, you know, my teammates would not like that for me. But I don't think it ultimately played into it. I think you made a good point about the defense, Greg. I thought they played very...
I think it made a horrible... No, they were horrible. And this is the one thing I said in the morning. They couldn't... Since Pierre Paul, it's not the same defense. They couldn't...
In the first half, I thought they played well. I thought they covered well.
I think Aaron Rodgers didn't play well in the first half.
I think they covered really well because there were a lot of times where he had a lot of time to throw and nobody was open.
That's what I'm saying, though.
I thought they played well in the first half, but they spent too much time on the field. And we talk about defense winning championships. If your defense spends too much time on the field because of the offense, you're not going to win ball games.
He had 6-7 seconds sometimes to throw the ball.
There was a spot with 4.5 minutes left in the first quarter where he had about 8 seconds to throw, and then on one of those first touchdowns, he had about another 9 seconds to throw. It was because the secondary was covering so well, but they couldn't get enough of a pass rush.
Yeah, they were. And I said it on the show when we ended yesterday, Scott, the one problem I have with that Giants defense is that if Aaron Rodgers has a lot of time to throw, this could actually get ugly. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and you know now there's not a shutdown defense really left in the postseason field. So you know, I think the Giants were the one team that had the potential with defense to maybe make a dent here. But their offense ended up doing them in. And I wonder how much when we – you know, it was an interesting hook, though, that I thought three players this weekend that were big fantasy disappointments – showed up in the wild card round: Thomas Rawls, Randall Cobb, and DeAndre Hopkins. And this is why we don't have closure sometimes.
You know, like I said, I was going to get into this also. The Miami thing's a bad look more than anything else. It has zero effect on what happened on the field.
Yeah,
that's not the reason Aaron Rodgers.
No.
As Trey Songz tweeted last night. No DBs are on that yacht.
Yeah, because the DBs were back in Jersey or back wherever practicing because they were
off,
really...
It was day off.
They were back.
You can look at film, though, and you can out-prepare the other team.
They were back preparing, and they didn't lose the game. They were on the field way too much because of the New York Giants offense not being able to sustain drives.
Again, that has nothing to do with them being in Miami.
Nothing to do with them being in Miami, but when you go to Miami... And you come out in the pregame with your wide receivers and your shirtless, trying to make a statement, trying to mock people, and then you end up getting your ass handed to you. You got to hear about it the next day. The bottom line, they have to hear about this, Greg.
I have no problem. I don't disagree. Like, it's a slap in the face.
I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. dropped a pass because he was on a boat.
Thank you.
But at the same time, it's not a good public look.
You know,
after you win, then you party.
Agree, totally. You're absolutely right. Right, like it's not a good look at all. For what happened? Does it really have an effect? Probably not. Did Tony Romo going to Cabo have an effect on his body? Absolutely not. And if we don't even talk about Jason Witten.
He threw a pick to end that game.
Right, but was it because he was in Cabo? No, of course not.
But these are the things. These are the growing pains that you have to go through.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to know better than to put yourself in this predicament because now you become the story.
Absolutely.
When you punch a wall, you become the story,
too. Oh, yeah, and then the immaturity and the punch the wall and everybody.
And if you played in a fantasy playoff format, you had Odell and one and done, you're probably pissed off about the boat.
I don't know if you're pissed off about the boat or you're pissed off that he sucked yesterday.
People are pointing to the boat thing. I don't agree with it. I think Troy Aikman put his finger on it. He said, it's just like, it's a maturity thing.
I mean, it's funny about Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I usually really like them. I had no problem with him last night, except for one comment. And Tony, this is usually up your line. This is your alley with things like this, where Joe Buck says, you know, everybody's talking about the boat, and I don't want to get into the boat, but what about the boat? I'm like, what are you talking about? If you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it.
Well, here's the thing. Let's just equate this to everything, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Troy Aikman, I thought he hit it right. Troy Aikman says, hey, we got 53 other guys. I don't want anyone to outwork me ever
when I'm on a team. Right.
What about having that attitude? I mean, I have that same attitude every time, and Scott knows this. I want to know every single stat. I want to know everything I want to do because you take pride in your job. These guys are not.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I really, really don't.
Was the spot too big for him?
I don't think the spot was too big for him. I think he just couldn't
he catch the football.
To me, as an objective observer, sure. I don't have anything against the Giants or Beckham or Sharp or anybody. They just didn't make the play. Sharp was dropping passes, too.
You mean Shepard?
Shepard.
Shepard
dropped one bad ball. Odell dropped a touchdown. He dropped the first down, dropped another first. I mean, Odell is obviously being the superstar, dropping as many passes as he did. He's the one that's going to get all the heat for this.
Eli put it in spots where he thought a guy like Odell could catch
it. And he could, he should have.
Yeah.
I don't think
this guy's a superstar.
I don't think the spot was too big. I don't think it's Miami. Yeah. I think it's the very fact he had a very, very poor game and he dropped a
These are the playoffs.
This is also his first time in the playoffs.
It was, absolutely.
These are the playoffs for you. Guys step forward when you don't expect it. Paul Richardson's making spectacular catches.
Oh, wow. And Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham. Don't get sore at me because the Giants lost. Odell Beckham. If Paul Richardson was on the friggin' Texans, I would have made the same statement. So stop it.
You would not have. You would not have mentioned Paul Richardson.
Made the type of catches on Saturday that we expect Odell Beckham Jr. to make.
Paul Richardson made nice catches.
It was a penalty on it. Should have been a penalty on that play.
He had a guy.
I'm talking about the other two. Throw out the one with the face mask. I'm talking about the other two. Those are the type you expect. Odell to make.
He actually did mention Paul Richardson instead of Randall Cobb. So,
Randall Cobb didn't make any acrobatic catches.
Odell didn't need to make acrobatic catches. He just needed to
catch the ball.
The point is that Paul
they...
Richardson was making the catches that
I
we thought Odell would make.
Paul Richardson.
He made three.
This is about the playoffs. This is about the playoffs. The guys you don't expect step up, and the guys you expect sometimes don't step up.
It's about Odell Beckham catching a ball thrown at him. That's all I care about. It's doing what Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams did last night. That's all Odell Beckham needed to do. He didn't need to be Paul Richardson. He needed to just catch the ball.
No, what I'm saying is Eli put it in a place where he thought a guy like Odell could make a spectacular catch.
A guy like Scott Engel could have made the catch. Forget Odell Beckham.
It was a little bit in front of him.
I don't know if Scott could have made any of those catches, to be honest with you. I've seen Scott try to catch before.
You have never, ever seen me play sports. Move on.
There was only one that was too high for him. The other two were in his breadbasket. There's nothing you could expect. I mean, anybody could catch
that first one in the end zone, though. It's like putting a little bit out there. I figure, like, Odell can get it, you know?
It
went right in his...
It went right in his...
You know, like I said, in his wheelhouse. Here's the story today. Do not get me wrong. He blew the final stats for him. 4 catches, 28 yards, and 11 targets. Is not going to get the job done. Any stretch of the imagination. 13 points against the Packers. He's not going to get the job done in any stretch of the imagination. The Giants' defense fell apart in the second half. There was not enough, as you said, Tony, pressure on Aaron Rodgers without Jason Pierre-Paul. Like, this whole thing changed. They got pressure early, and once they couldn't get there anymore, once Green Bay adjusted and they started blitzing, Aaron Rodgers kills you, and that was it. I mean, it's really that simple. Aaron Rodgers, he's one of the best ever.
I don't even know what they, like, the whole blitzing part, you're right, right? So if you looked at the Pittsburgh Steelers game, the Steelers came with a lot of defensive backs in that game against Miami, and I'm saying, man, the Giants got to try something here. But he would have carved them apart, you're right.
Yeah. Rodgers throws for, what is it, 365 and 4, is that what it was? 362 and
was,
4.
Yeah, prior to that game, the top quarterback play of the weekend was Wilson at 16 fantasy points.
Wow.
That's how poor the quarterback play was this weekend. And then Rodgers throws up 33.
Oh, took him 14 minutes to mention Russell Wilson.
Well, he was just telling how many points he scored. Not
if I mention Paul Richardson, it's like friggin' biased. But he mentioned Wilson, it's okay.
No, see, Wilson was actually the second best quarterback. Paul Richardson had 3 catches.
Yeah, Paul Richardson had 3 catches. That has nothing to do with Odell Beckham Jr.
What I was saying is a guy like Paul Richardson stepped up and Odell didn't, and that's like sometimes the nature of the playoffs.
I don't really think one has anything to do with the other.
Hold on 1 second. I'm noticing something.
Yes.
It's off topic.
Oh, great.
No, it's not that off topic. Did the Pittsburgh Kansas City line moved already?
I haven't looked at that. I was hoping we'd guess the lines, but I guess we're not finding out.
Oh, no,
well,
don't worry about it.
Tony already said one of them is the biggest in history.
What did you say?
Tony already said like one of them is the biggest
in
history.
Oh, the Texans and the Patriots, like 15 points, right?
That's 15.
17 now.
17.
Yeah, I'm taking New England.
But I thought I saw Pittsburgh at -1.5.
No, I
saw that yesterday.
I didn't see that yesterday.
I think I saw that yesterday, right?
I had it open at – I had the game Kansas City open at even, and now Kansas City's a
one-point favorite now, but at some point –
What about Green Bay, Dallas?
Somewhere.
Dallas is 4.5.
4.5, yeah. That's about
Seattle,
right.
Atlanta?
Atlanta's 4.5.
I think it's a reaction. I think that Kansas City is a reaction to Ben Roethlisberger's fake injury.
Sure. That's definitely a fake injury, by the way. That's just a joke.
Oh, yeah. That's
such a joke.
That's the Willis
Reed. He is unbelievable.
Right. Yeah, that really was absurd.
He loves doing that.
Put a walking boot on his foot after the
Ben Roethlisberger always wanted to be a hero.
I thought, though, it's like I said, it's so interesting that Cobb, Rawls, and Hopkins all became relevant this weekend. And those are three guys that busted for everybody fantasy-wise.
Absolutely.
And Osweiler played a solid game. That 38-yard completion to Hopkins to set up his touchdown, that's the kind of play we were waiting for all year.
We were. No question about that. We'll get into that game in a little bit. What was that?
That was me. Sorry.
That was you. Oh, I was very confused. We'll get into that a little bit. Let's continue on Giants-Packers after the break. We'll break now. We'll talk about every game here around the NFL wildcard weekend. We'll recap what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like, and how it happened. We break it down here on the Roto Experts of the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Roto Experts of the Morning. King, Tony, Corey, myself, hanging out with you, starting Giants Packers, ending the Giants season, mercifully. Eli Manning throws 299-1, also throws an interception, also has a fumble that Paul Perkins put through his legs rather than actually pick up. That was stupid. Like, I don't understand that, guys. You see a ball, maybe I do understand it, right? Like, you're running a route, you don't necessarily know what happens behind you. You just assume the ball lands in front of you, it drops, right? Is that what happened there?
Yeah, I think everybody was confused.
But still, how do you guys pick it up?
Except for Clay Matthews.
And Eli Manning.
I agree with you that, like, you were taught, like, at Pop Warner.
Right.
Play until the whistle blows.
Sure.
There was no whistle.
No.
So you have to jump on the ball. Like, that was the most mystifying situation there. Now, a lot of times in those games, you can't hear the whistle, so I get that. But I don't know. It made no sense to me that the guy that knocked the ball is the guy that covers the football, that nobody else jumped on it. It's kind of crazy.
Giants throwing the towel.
It's crazy because there's only two people that chased after that ball. Clay Matthews and Eli Manning. That was it. Eli was right there with Clay. He's just not as fast as him. That was pathetic. Giants need to get a running game next year. 10 carries, 30 yards. Paul Perkins, that's not going to get the job done. Tavares King catches 3 passes, 73 yards, a big touchdown. Will Tye in a nice long pass up the seam. 4 for 66. Sterling Shepard, 9 targets, 4 catches, 63 yards. Victor Cruz, the first catch of the game for the Giants, 3 for 30. Odell, we talked about just a few moments ago.
I'm so disappointed with Victor Cruz.
Well, you may have seen him play his last professional game yesterday.
He should know better.
What?
Victor Cruz should know better.
Agreed.
He might have played his last game as a Giant.
Yeah.
I think somebody might take a flyer on him.
He's a guy that's got nothing left. Like, he should know better. You're right. Yeah.
He should know better. He should know better. He's following a 23-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Victor Cruz. You got to do better.
You got 23. You got a 23-year-old that's throwing cash and women at you. You're just jumping on the coattails. That's what it is. It's true.
Fantasy players all too often, though, like, make them sometimes a mistake of looking at what happened in the playoffs and then translate it to next year.
Absolutely.
Do you believe now that some people are going to, like, question whether they should take Odell that high because he played in the playoffs?
I get what you're saying.
You
Scott.
Wouldn't, Corey, but I'm saying the average.
You wouldn't,
player.
But there are absolutely are people, Scott. You're 100% right.
Yeah,
I believe.
I would.
That look at the playoffs and good and bad, right? Like, if someone has a brilliant playoffs for whatever reason, they jump on it. Like, people love Jeff Janis.
Randall Cobb. Will people Randall like, Cobb?
Oh
more
yeah.
Confident in him.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Jordy Nelson goes down with bruisers. They're calling it right. They haven't called anything else.
They just said ribs.
Yeah.
Is he going to be inactive?
I don't know.
I hope so.
That's not very nice.
I hope he feels better.
Although you said that, I'm walking around last night. Oh, this is so horrible. This is so horrible. Jordy's hurt. Oh no.
Yeah. You were devastated. Weren't
devastated. Right? Poor Jordy.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jordy. Didn't matter though.
They were saying that should have been an illegal hit.
Yeah, it should have. He lived with the hat. Lived with his helmet. Into the ribs. Lived with his helmet. Devontae Adams steps up again. 8 catches, 125, and one in a big game. Randall Cobb catches 3 touchdowns, 5 for 116. They opened the seam and they found the hole in the Giants defense.
You know what? That's to make the difference to me. We saw Jordy not be there last year and the Packers offense fall apart. I don't think that's going to happen if Jordy is not there, because, you know, you got guys like Devontae Adams stepping up, you know, guys like Geronimo Allison, even when they need it. That's the difference between the Packers this year and last year, I think. So have confidence in your Packers fantasy players going into Dallas.
I think you have to here. I was honestly surprised, Tone, that Jordy Nelson didn't wind up back in this game. Like, put a flap jacket on, take a shot, and come back.
He's not Ben Roethlisberger. No.
That's why I got
wide receivers don't wear flat jackets either. So,
if you have to stay on the field, you can do whatever you have.
But when the game starts, like, you know, they will point it out.
So you know what? A lot of wide receivers wear the rib pads, but he doesn't, and I can understand. A lot of them don't even wear pads in their pants,
right,
so they try to get that little extra advantage there. I think it's worse. I don't think he's going to play. I think he's got to have more wrong to him than that. He was down for a while, and then he got carted off the field. I think he's going to be out.
I think it's possible, obviously. You know, missed all this game, a playoff game, a guy that really just plays through anything and everything.
And if he's not out, he's not going to be at 100%.
Not at all. No. Not at all. Which is big for the Cowboys. The Cowboys get Morris Claiborne back this week?
Yeah, Mo Claiborne to be back.
It'll be big for them because, he was off to a really nice start this year before he missed most of the year. It'll be a good game between Green Bay and Dallas. It really will, I think. The question is, and you've said it all year, Scotty, the Cowboys' defense, you didn't necessarily think were great, but they had the ability, the offense, to keep the other team off the field. They're going to have to do that on Sunday in order to win.
Here's the problem for Dallas. They can keep that Packers offense as much of the field they want. That Packers offense doesn't need that much time to put points on the board, as we've seen like for the last 7 weeks. I don't know how they're going to stop Aaron Rodgers. You can try to play ball control and keep Rodgers on the sideline. He don't need that much time.
I don't know how Green Bay is going to stop Dallas either, though.
I have no idea.
Go back to yesterday's game, right? Odell Beckham could add a touchdown. We could add a touchdown for Sterling Shepard, right? And the Giants aren't a great offense, so that's 28 points there. The Green Bay Packers were the worst in the league against wide receivers. I think Dez Bryant has a big game.
Yeah.
Of course, the running game is going to be there. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
I mean, Ezekiel Elliott ran for 157 yards and 2 touchdowns, and the game Dallas had well in hand.
Absolutely.
He is a good part of the game where he was coming out of the game after they had established a pretty big lead. So it's going to be a good football game back and forth. So we'll see what happens. You know, it's going to come down to special teams, a kick, a play late in the game, a turnover that's going to decide it. We definitely next weekend set up for 4 real good games. At least they should. Well, 3 real good games.
Right.
And then, we'll see the Houston Texans meagerly bow out.
Watch them upset the Patriots.
Oh, I will not watch that because it will not happen. Christian Michael, he was pumped up running for 47 yards yesterday. Happy to be in the playoffs doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy.
Yeah, and then Montgomery suffered the knee injury, so they kind of need him in there, too.
Did come back. Montgomery did come back in that game, though.
I'm not going to do this with Christian Michael again, though. Closure.
Closure.
No. We're not doing it with Christian
Michael. No. And there you have it. The Packers really destroyed the Giants. 38-13.
What about Jared Cook?
Oh, yeah, you're right. So, I'm sorry. Jared Cook, 5 catches, 48 yards, and he had a big drop, which caused Aaron Rodgers to throw a Hail Mary, which worked out great.
Yeah. Just did his part, yeah, as we expect.
Even when Jared
Cook
does
that.
I'll tell you what.
That Hail Mary, I felt bad for the Giants.
Thanks.
There's nothing. It's worse to get that at the end of the half, the end of the game, because the game's over, you go home. You had to sit in there for 20 minutes and think about that play. Like, I was thinking back, that has to be the worst possible feeling in the world.
I don't know what Eli Apple
was
doing, like he had never done that drill before.
Absolute game changer.
Yeah.
The momentum swung. That was a big play.
You know what?
And it was eerily, you know, calmatic with Knicks catching that going into the half against Green Bay. The last time the Giants were in Lambeau Field when Tom Coughlin was on the sideline. But, that play did something to the New York Giants.
Okay, so I've heard a lot of people say that, and it's true. It sucks, obviously. But I don't totally agree with that. Because you're now down 14-6. You go in at halftime. They had huge 4th-and-inches stop. The huge 4th-and-inches stop where they drove Ty Montgomery back.
They
and
did,
2 plays later, they throw a bomb to Tavares King. It's now a 14-13 game. All the momentum is swung back to the Giants here. All of it. Forget the Hail Mary. All of it. Six plays later, Randall Cobb up the seam. It was never that was it. That was the fucking backbreaker.
Yeah.
And one thing that has, that we haven't talked about yet was from the Giants' perspective, the special teams was abysmal. They started on the 50-yard line every freaking drive.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Rainey catches the ball on the 3-yard line and walks out of bounds like a schmuck.
But the most confounding play to me is like, why do you hand it to Bobby Rainey on 3rd and 1?
Your season's on the line. Let's hand it to freaking Bobby Rainey at the end of the first
because
half.
Because you don't have no running. You don't have no running game, period.
No, that's
you
not
you
the
don't
answer.
Give it to your smallest running
your
back.
Your 3rd-string
so
running back.
Give it to Rashad Jennings?
Yeah, I get what he was trying to do, though.
I get it, too, Tony. I get it, too.
He was setting up in a passing formation to try to fool them because they can't go man-to-man with them because they were getting beat on the running game the whole time.
Yep.
It didn't make it the right play. I would probably, you know, and it's easy to say it after the fact, my best play is Eli Manning. Let him try to make a play. But that's what they tried to do. And people do it all the time. Philadelphia does it with Darren Sproles all the time, and it doesn't work sometimes, and then you look foolish.
Yeah, you're 100% right. He's their passing down back. They try to just get a quick first down with this guy, then get back into their aerial attack and have everybody on the field already and go quickly. It clearly did not work out. It was clearly a stupid move, and it cost them.
So, yeah.
Again, whatever. Giants did not deserve to win that game. It's not like they got screwed anyway. I actually thought the refs had a good weekend. Would you guys agree with that?
No.
No, you wouldn't.
Why? How do you say that?
Why? What
there were a lot of missed calls in the Seattle game. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Shocking. That's the game you point to about that.
There were.
I'll tell you what. There were a couple plays. There was a play yesterday.
Was it with one of them the face mask that Paul Richardson had?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Why are you being a jerk this morning?
How am I being a jerk?
You're being an idiot.
How am I being an idiot? You want Paul Richardson compared to Odell?
I'm pointing. You know what, though?
Yes.
I'm glad the Giants lost.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
you deserve it because you're being an idiot.
That's
you're taking
all it takes
it out on
for
me.
You to be, be upset and be happy the Giants lost.
It's like I'm being objective here saying that there were calls that went to Seahawks. Like, oh, what do you think of the Saturday game? Blah, blah, blah.
That's my invitation to me? That's how you speak about
that's
me?
That's an invitation.
That's a weird invitation.
So you've been going after me the first half hour for like no reason.
I haven't gone after you at all. Yeah. He's going after
me. With the 10 seconds in, you mentioned Paul Richardson.
It was actually 11 minutes.
11 minutes, Scott.
Yeah. Come on, I gotta remember that.
But, I'm surprised we didn't lead the show with Meryl Streep.
That's all I think.
That's the most important thing we should talk about today.
He's really going crazy.
That's not the most important thing we should talk about today. The playoffs
it's
are.
It's pretty close, though.
It is the most important
to me. We'll lead with that.
Are you going to be pumped tomorrow when we leave with a national championship game that everyone in America is going to watch but you?
Yeah. You know what?
That's what you want to go on.
Maybe I'll watch some premium television like you instead.
I don't have HBO.
Maybe I'll watch some on HBO or Showtime.
I don't have HBO.
Like you would when the football games are on.
I don't have HBO. He's
whatever.
Talking about this last week.
You know what I mean.
I don't. Yeah. You're going to call me out. Let the barbs be accurate.
Let the barbs be accurate.
I don't have HBO.
Maybe I'll watch something on AMC or something.
AMC is not premium television.
Whatever.
You have AMC. You watch The Walking Dead every Sunday.
Yeah, I do watch AMC.
So there you go. What are you calling me out
not
for?
Not when football's on. Only
you
one time.
That's not true. You have. To watch it with your son.
Only
you've
one
said
time.
That. You have
only
said
one
that.
Time did I watch it over a football game.
What were the calls against the Lions? When the Lions got ripped off at?
Obviously they missed a face mask. They missed a pass interference. Downfield. You know, there was two of them. I think they missed another face mask against the Seahawks, too.
They get a lot of calls when they play in Seattle. Like, people talk about the 12th man. I think the refs somehow are intimidated by
it. It didn't affect the final score, but it wasn't a cleanly called game.
Next week,
affect the final score. It didn't affect the outcome of the game.
No.
I mean, if you take away the touchdown.
Yeah, it's still what? 20. Yeah, it's still.
That was fourth down, right?
Like I said,
you make that touchdown a field goal. You
sure.
Know?
Yeah.
No, that was fourth down, was it?
They
might have went
down.
For
you're
it
right.
Again, though.
You're right. That was fourth down.
Yeah.
To me, like
at
I
least
said,
they would have kicked the field goal.
They couldn't have kicked the field goal if it was fourth down, Scott.
No, and they would have offsetting penalties.
They could have
played. Oh, okay.
Because it was offensive pass
interference.
Defensive pass interference on the play, too.
Absolutely. Again, for the most part, I actually had no problem with the referees this weekend. I thought it was pretty cleanly called. Obviously, they missed that call. For the most part, I didn't, like, any game you could point to, it was a bad pass interference or whatever, a hold, whatever. For the most part, nothing egregious, Corey.
Twitter was, like, just, like, ablaze about referees Saturday
really?
After Saturday night's game.
Yeah, well, because the Seahawks what Tony said is true. Sometimes you think the 12th man is the officials.
Sure.
The Seahawks have gotten a lot of calls throughout the course of this run at home. The years that they've been good, of course, we remember the absolute disaster on Monday night when the refs were locked out. So
sure.
you get that, and you get some other situations where Seattle has been the benefactor of calls, but I don't think it was, like you said, Greg, I don't think it was anything in this weekend that you could point to and be like, okay, the NFL has a problem with officiating.
Which is nice. Which is nice.
Which is nice.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about Seattle and Detroit. We'll do that next year as Seattle gets past Detroit or really beats them down 26-6. Good defensive performance by them. They go on to take on Atlanta. We'll talk Seattle and Detroit on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Parsons, Sussman, Angles, and Cotta hanging with you. Seattle defeats Detroit 26-6 score.
Yep, the Seattle Seahawks move on now. They go to Atlanta, the Georgia Dome. Hostile environment for Russell Wilson to take on the Atlanta Falcons. But I want to give a big shout out right now to Jess Lockwood.
Okay.
He is the winner of the PBR at Madison Square Garden this weekend.
Okay.
Taking home 117.
He was the rookie of the year last year, right?
I mentioned him to...
Yeah.
I mentioned him on Friday during our interview about he was rookie of the year last year, 19 years old.
How'd Chase Outlaw do?
Chase Outlaw said, you know, he's a guy you got to watch.
Yeah, he won $117,000, okay. Jess. Our buddy Chase Outlaw, not so good this weekend. No. He came in 24th place.
Out of?
Which is like out of like 30.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he made $600.
Hey, he made money.
Hey,
he
got
made more money than we did this weekend.
From Corey.
See, this will get me. Please. I can buy me some more hay. I can get some grits.
Oh, boy.
Indeed, Tony, indeed.
You had to go to the grits, man.
I can get me a couple of nice cowboy hats. And I'll be back in New
Wrangler
York City.
Jeans and some belt buckles.
I can run over to Walmart.
Cracker Barrel.
What the hell is wrong with these two, Tony?
Shout out to Chase Outlaw. Better luck next week.
Well, he's got the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, he came out. No, you, yeah. No. Well, listen, he was distracted.
He made the finals last year.
I heard he was on a boat earlier in the week.
I ain't on no boat. I'm a landlubber.
That was a good one.
That was funny. That was funny.
You're well rested, ready to go. Today.
I got
feeling good.
I
Seattle defeats Detroit 26-6, and you know this is interesting, Scotty, because for once the coach didn't lie to us. Pete Carroll says, listen, we are out to get Thomas Rawls 20 carries in this game. That's how we're going to win. That's how we're going to be successful in the playoffs. And they came out running the football. 27 carries total over Thomas Rawls, 161 yards rushing, and a touchdown. And the running game was able to set up the pass, give Russell Wilson the time that he needed, and led Seattle to a victory here.
Yeah, like on the first drive or two, you know, they came out in passing sets, and Wilson got sacked twice on one series by Ezekiel Ansah, who was going against George Fant, who shouldn't be playing left tackle. And then they started running the ball, and it all of a sudden, you know, these are like the Seahawks, you know. They run, that sets up their, you know, the read option, et cetera, and the play action, and that's how they want to operate. You know, Rawls is a guy that he's very physical. He runs bigger than his size. He's not the same type of physical runner as Marshawn Lynch, because Marshawn Lynch would know how to protect himself. You saw Rawls go out because he went helmet to helmet with Tahir Whitehead, and he launched his helmet into him. That's the kind of guy that Rawls is. And, you know, he went out for a play, and we didn't know if he was going to come back. He was running with great intensity. There's the kind of Rawls that we saw last season. It was the best game of the year, but with the relentless way that he runs, you know, you never know when he's going to go out of a ball game.
And that's something that obviously Seahawks are going to have to avoid because
he's like a smaller version of Chris Ivory.
This is a formula that works for Seattle, right? Like running relentlessly at the opponent, setting up your read option, setting up the pass play for Russell Wilson, who didn't really move around the pocket all that much. Like he didn't. He didn't.
You have to do that because the line can't hold up in protection.
Right. Right.
It's not like he's got 3-4 seconds back there to like make his read.
Sure, and he obviously does not. And on Saturday night, it was Thomas Rawls. It was Doug Baldwin being the same Doug Baldwin we have seen most of the year, stealing touchdowns from his teammates. 11 catches, 104 yards, a touchdown for Dougie Baldwin.
Yeah, you thought Kirsch was going to get that, and that was his playoff touchdown. Wilson threw a perfect pass into triple coverage, and Baldwin just happened to be there. I don't even think he knew Kirsch was behind him, but him, Richardson, they were all making spectacular catches.
Let me ask you this, Scotty. Why did they make that trade to get Jimmy Graham?
Why did they? Because they felt they wanted to get a big target in there. Why don't they use him? They don't have. It's funny you say that because every time you watch a Seahawks game, the broadcast will say, they get in with a five. They're like, this Jimmy Graham territory.
Well, yeah, on the 5-yard line, it's going to be seven people on Jimmy Graham.
Seven people that opens things
up
for other
guys. But why not in the middle of the field? Why not in the seam? Why don't they utilize Graham as a playmaker?
I think this was Graham's first year back from the big knee injury.
But they didn't use him last year.
No, I think this was Graham's first year back from the knee injury. He had to develop more of a rapport with Russell Wilson. I think this was a sort of, I don't think easing back. I was saying this was a getting comfortable year. I think he's going to have a better season next season. He took a shot early in the game, though, from the strong safety of Detroit, though, I don't think he was the same the rest of the game.
Hmm. Is he going to be involved in the game plan versus Atlanta next week?
Because they're going to need him
next week.
I certainly think the issue is, though, that he's caught all of his five touchdown passes at home this year.
And who's going to be what's the plan for handling Vic Beasley?
He's on the right side. He's not on the left. Okay. I think you're probably going to have Luke Wilson help there and chip with him, etc. I think running the ball, though, especially if they got Procise, you can run the ball with Rawls and Procise and throw the passes to the flat, and if Beasley's bearing down on Wilson, can flip it out to Procise. That's something they haven't had for weeks.
I don't see the problem is, I don't know if we're expecting CJ Procise to just come back and have this major role immediately, right? He's been out for quite a while.
A major role, but I think, he will play a role, though.
We'll see. We'll see if he gets back.
I don't think you can play a major role when Rawls is playing like that.
Right.
He can't be a feature back like he was in New England.
Do you see what advantage does Seattle have over Atlanta, in your opinion, Scott?
I would probably think playoff experience overall, and the fact that that Matt Ryan's 1-4. And a lot of the Seattle guys have been there before, but I don't think they're winning this game. I really don't.
Well, obviously.
I can't see them stopping that offense. Two things. They're going to get Freeman and Coleman. When you can throw to running backs, and Tony knows this from watching Shane Vereen in the Super Bowl against them when they were an even better team than they are now. If you can pepper underneath with running backs, you can hurt them. I can't see them stopping that offense without Earl Thomas. I can't see it.
Mm. See, the Atlanta Falcons defense in the second half of the year, they got better against the running game, but then they were exploited in the final week by New Orleans for 132 yards on the ground. But after that, they hadn't let up 100 yards rushing since week 10. Carolina only put 83 against them, San Francisco 86, the Rams 75, Kansas City only 29, Arizona 58. So all of a sudden that Falcons defense got better against the run. And I kind of wonder, the Seattle thing, we kill their offensive line all year long. And then they put it together against the Detroit Lions. I wonder how much of it was just how bad the Detroit Lions defensive line was that game.
I think it was a combination of both. I think the line played maybe its best game of the year. But Haloti Ngata is not the same as the secondary was the best part of that defense. But you got to take advantage of the matchups that's in front of you. So you got to give them credit.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this week, I don't know if that running game is going to be as effective as what we saw this week.
No, and that's where Procise comes into play.
Are we sure he's coming back?
If he comes back, here's a guy where if the pocket is collapsing, you can't run the ball, you get him out in space.
On the other side of things, Detroit. Zach Zeno did not have the game we were hoping for.
He had a 17-yard run early, and then he didn't do it for the rest of the day.
Zeno was decent, Greg. Zeno was decent. Zinner was decent. If you played him in DFS, he had the game you wanted.
That's true. The six catches, 54 yards. You're happy with that. You guys are right. He didn't fall in the end zone.
As a runner, he didn't do much. He had a 17-yard run early. You thought he was going to do well, and then he just didn't do nothing as a runner the rest of the day.
You were right about Golden Tate. Three catches, 25 yards. He did nothing.
No.
So Marvin Jones, you have to be happier with. Corey, 4 for 81? You can't be upset with that.
Now you made a couple big catches, too, so.
Yeah.
How are we doing, by the way, on our way to Burger King?
We're middle of the pack. Middle of the pack. I put another team in, too, so both are, kind of middle of the pack.
Now, do we get Burger King if that team wins as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
So that's pretty good. We got two chances, Scott.
Yeah.
Two tickets.
Two tickets we got.
Two tickets to Whoppers.
Eric Ebron, 2 for 23. Anquan Boldin.
He dropped some passes, too.
He dropped passes. Come on.
Oh, my God.
You talk about the airport team, man. He really looks the role. He's going to have to produce better.
He looks like the next Jared Cook.
I mean, he's a physical specimen. Paul.
So is Jared Cook.
Yeah, he's the athleticism.
So is Jared
Cook. And then just the inability to stay on the field.
So Jared Cook.
And then he can't catch the football.
Jared Cook.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you guys.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not wasting a draft pick on this guy next year.
Why not in round 15?
Probably C.J. Fedorowicz.
I like C.J. Fedorowicz.
He'll be a top 12 tight end.
Definitely.
Eric Ebron, though.
Definitely.
Yeah, he will be. Just because of the lack of talent at the position.
Terrell Owens used to lead the league and drop balls, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. How many did he catch, though?
I'm saying. He dropped some.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Eric Ebron catches some.
Eric Ebron does catch some, but he's probably not as good as Terrell Owens.
Nowhere near.
But he lost some. But he stops his drop passes, stops some drives also.
Yeah. So there you go. Seattle defeats Detroit 26-6. This was not close.
It was actually close in the first half. It was 10-6.
Oh yeah, I mean it was close for a lot of the first half. In the second half, they were dominating
the game though. It was just one of those things like it's 10-6. But
it's funny, you read some of the Seattle papers and they talk like they didn't this game was closer than the score indicates.
I didn't think so
because I think there's certain expectations. It's just that they will be more dominant than they were, and just I have no problem with
that. Gotta win, move on, right?
I'm tired of if I was the Jim Caldwell,
right?
There is no way in hell Anquan Boldin would ever play another game.
What's up with that?
I agree,
Tony.
Jeremy Lane after the play. Like, you know what? You are a veteran. You were 36 years old. You have won a Super Bowl. And you
guy is like the guy wins like the Walter Payton Man of the Year like every year. You know what I'm saying?
Who did Boldin win the Super Bowl with? I forget.
With
that'd be the Ravens, right?
I believe.
Okay.
I believe he won a Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Did he play in the Super Bowl with the Cardinals too?
He played in the Super Bowl with the Cardinals, sure.
Yeah, he did.
And did he play the Super Bowl with San Francisco? No, he only San Francisco 1 year. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. But this is a guy that's been around the block. What are you doing losing your head on Saturday?
Yeah.
What a bad look for Anquan, Tony.
That was insane. There was no way he would ever play for me ever again after that game. He single-handedly ended two drives that were absolutely crazy. And poor, I felt so bad for Matt Stafford in that game because he was playing with that injury all year.
Yep.
And then he had Boldin end two drives. He had Eric Ebron drop a couple balls, and I'm like, this guy can't do anything.
Drop a ball early on when he had the inside angle.
Stafford, you know what? Stafford's gonna be okay. I think his finger is healthy. I have no issue with Matthew.
I want to be interested fantasy wise too. Who's gonna play running back for the Lions next year?
I think they'll go back to Amir Abdullah. I think so. I know you don't like that answer, but I think that's the answer.
We'd be interested to see who else they acquire.
I don't know if they will. I think it'll go with Abdullah. They'll have Zach Zenner there, and they'll have Theo Riddick. I mean, you got to remember, their top two running backs did not play most of the season. I don't know if they're acquiring anybody.
I think it's timeshare between Abdul and somebody else more prominent.
Not Theo. You don't think Theo Riddick should have a major role?
I know. The guy caught 83 balls.
Type guy, yeah. I don't see him going away, but I'm saying I want somebody that can tote the rock and you can depend on them. You know, I can't see Amir Abdullah being that guy.
Sure. And that's fair. I don't think Theo Riddick's like a Darren Sproles type. I mean, Theo Riddick's a major role.
We haven't seen Amir Abdullah yet, though.
No, we have not. I mean, maybe he can be a Took the Rock guy.
Maybe he can be.
I'm worried he's going to turn into Javid Best. You know, just like never get out.
Javid Best was good, but the concussion thing ruined his
career.
That
wasn't a foot thing, right? That was a concussion.
Yeah,
that's a big difference.
Yeah, you know, Javid Best was like sleeping in, you know, his house was like concussion built. He had struggled with those things since he was in high school, and he had some real nasty ones, too. But has Latavius Murray played his final game as Oakland Raider?
Let's talk about that on the other side of this. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts back here. Breaking down Wild Card Weekend for you. Get a little hoops in a little bit later on the show. Baseball as well. Still waiting for some major signings in baseball. See if that comes this week. Houston and the Rocket Ship.
That's your boy.
My man. He's on my team. Scott Engel leading that, by the way. The king winning week one of the Roto Experts Big in the morning pool.
I think we didn't get any points for kickers, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What the hell, Corey?
It was an exercise for the radio.
I'm trying to still. I'd like to win.
Yeah, but well, nobody's getting points for kickers, apparently.
Wow.
I'm not going back and doing. I'm not tabulating. I'm not. So you can forget about
it. Take like 30 seconds, though.
Well, you do it.
Less. give me the idea. I'll do it.
Oh, he'll do it.
Scott, Scott's winning because he's a man. He's a sprinter. He doesn't have endurance.
It's true. Nothing? Okay. The Texans.
That was a whiff.
The Texans defeat Oakland 27-14. Connor Cook got a lot of crap in this game from everybody. Three interceptions, a touchdown. Tony, as bad as Connor Cook was, I felt like the game plan like wasn't conducive to help him out at all.
You know what? From Jack Del Rio's like body language, he never thought he had a shot to win the game. It was bad to watch. This Connor Cook on a couple balls really threw the ball well.
Yeah.
He really could fire the ball. And I was kind of impressed, but yeah, they had no shot. The running game was non-existent. I think they needed to get to, Washington Rashad in the game more early in the game and try to throw the ball to them. Kind of like Green Bay did when they had no running game and they put Montgomery back there.
Right.
Just throw them these 2 or 3 yard passes and try to control the ball that way. They just had nothing going on in this game. And Oakland had no shot. With their tackle being injured, then they lost a guard in the game. And that offensive line being hurt against that good defensive line was a huge problem.
With no Donald Penn, Tony nailed it. With no Donald Penn, I mean, you knew going into the game that Jadeveon Clowney was going to be, you know, unstoppable. And he sure enough, was. He is really starting to come into his own.
Oh, no, no,
and,
no, no,
and
no,
become
no,
the player
no,
that we thought.
He's not starting anything.
No,
he's
yeah. He looks like he's playing with children.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just an animal
right now.
He
was on Saturday.
Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, neither of them helped out their quarterback. They had some bad drops here. That was really the story of the weekend at the drop. Forget the referees.
You watched Connor Cook, though, and you did the kind of things that you expect, though. You're holding on to the ball too long. Sailing some passes, etc.
But to be fair, at least from what I saw, Scotty, they didn't give him a chance, right? They barely let him throw the ball. They didn't let him look downfield. It was just these like short little dinky dunk things that
was in the first half. He was throwing a lot of screens and stuff, but
yes.
When he did go downfield, some passes sailed.
He
stalled on his decisions, but you know it's what you expect. You know, he's fourth round pick,
made his first start of his career.
Yeah, in the playoffs. So
right.
Yeah, like you said, you know they didn't have a chance.
Yeah,
I saw a fourth-round pick win 13 games this year.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying he didn't look like a fourth-round pick. He looked like a first-rounder.
And the Cowboys would have drafted Connor Cook over Dak Prescott if he was there.
They would want to draft Connor Cook.
100%.
Oh, my goodness.
100%.
Yeah, and it made it easy for Houston. You know, and like we saw some of the wildest tweets out there this weekend. Like, you know, Brock Osweiler now proving he's worth the money. The guy played a solid game, but let's not get crazy.
Completed 14 passes.
I still
passes.
Don't want him in fantasy football.
He completed 14 passes.
Yeah.
Before we get
he played a solid game, though.
Did he? 14 for 25?
14 for 25.
That's not a solid
I still
game.
Though, he made some timely throws. He made some good throws.
I I heard that so many times and I laughed. And you know what it is? It's just our expectations are so,
so low.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, he got them out like, the huddle.
when you look at the numbers.
They interviewed him after the game. He said, look, Peyton showed me to value the football and not turn the ball over. That's what he did. He managed the game well enough. And that drive with the 38-yard to pass to Hopkins and the touchdown pass, that was a good drive.
Yeah, every once in a while, a squirrel gets a nut.
That's
yeah.
true.
Amari Cooper is what we need to talk about, along with Latavius Murray, Corey. Amari Cooper, 2 catches, 10 yards. Amari Cooper's end of this
still
year
still taking
was,
him in the first round?
Not, yeah, he's still taking him in the first round?
Yeah.
Really?
He yeah. said he said he was going to demand the ball this week. Right? Didn't he?
Yeah, you're right. You're 100%
why
right.
Why would you take him in the first
why
round?
Why would you take him in the first round?
A name the receiver is better than him. Who's going to be playing in the same system, who's going to get the same kind of volume?
Michael Crabtree's better than him. I don't get it. Like, Michael Crabtree said better, it was better. You say that. Michael I'm just telling you.
You don't have you what, to Michael take him in the first round, though.
No,
Michael
you don't.
Crabtree's not a better player. He puts up better numbers. Like
right.
you talk about drop balls.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
My God. Over the
oh,
last yeah. 3 or 4 weeks, I don't know how many he dropped.
100%.
You know, you take Jordy over him. You take Antonio. You take Mike Evans over him. You take Odell over him.
Julio.
You take T.Y. Hilton. You take Tulio.
A.J. Green.
You know, maybe Michael Thomas. Yeah.
That's still like the second round.
Well, it's not the first.
It's not the first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We take a break here. We'll talk about the Texans on the other side. And if, well, answer Corey's question, has Latavius Murray played his final game as a member of the Oakland Raiders? We discuss that and so much more. Now we're number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parsons, Scott Angle, Tony Cincotta, Greg Sussman here with you. Going through Wild Card Weekend and getting into some baseball, some basketball. Fun time of year for us. Sit and a chat, Tony Cincotta.
Here's the thing. I listen to Scott's news update.
Yes.
And you stumble across things like unexpectedly over the weekend.
Yes.
Some people in life are good at what they do, and some people are the luckiest people in the world. And some people could be actually be both. But nobody's luckier than Alan Crabb. Do you realize how much money this guy makes?
Oh, so he signed the offer sheet with Atlanta, right? And then it was matched by Portland.
He makes $18.5 million this year, yeah. $19.3 next year, $18.5, and $18.5. This is the luckiest guy in the world. Like, I couldn't believe when he had a $75 million contract.
Who's
luckier,
it was
him or Brock Osweiler?
That's a good question.
Pretty close.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think Crabb can play, but I just couldn't believe he was a $75 million player.
Well, Bonilla's making...
Bonilla's still cashing checks from the Mets.
For years. It's not ending anytime soon.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Corey, this was amazing.
Corey, I'm going to let you answer your question first. Will Latavius Murray be back in Oakland next year?
Well, okay, do they give the backfield to Washington?
Well, then split it between Washington and Rashard.
And split the backfield between Washington
and
Rashard.
Somebody else. Or bring somebody. To acquire somebody
bring in
else.
Somebody right, else. Right. A lot of teams can use a running back. Can Lat Murray be a bell cow somewhere? Can he be an every down running back somewhere? Does he wind up someplace new?
That team has a good offensive line, but he still wasn't churning out a lot of yards.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true. That's a good point. That's
but
true.
Your question, though, I don't think your question's fair that you're asking yourself. Can he be a bell cow running back? There's only 5 in the league, so why is that even
you're right.
a consideration?
Yeah, the days of the bell cow would like...
But we need to go back to those days.
We don't need to do anything.
According to who?
The president. Hey, you can't use email. You can't use computers. Might as well go back to bell cow.
For fantasy owners, but the NFL seems to be going the other way.
But you look at the teams that are remaining in the playoffs. The Cowboys have a bell cow.
Right.
Did you say the Falcons have a bell cow?
No.
No.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Seahawks don't have a bell cow.
They want to see.
Seattle wants a bell cow.
Seattle wants a bell cow.
Green Bay doesn't have a bell cow.
Green Bay does not.
I don't even think they care about the cows.
Kansas City does not.
They want one.
I don't don't know about that.
A healthy Jamal Charles would have done this.
No, he would not have. Absolutely
Steelers
not.
Steelers do. Texans do.
Steelers do. Patriots Texans don't. Do. Half do, half don't. That's yeah. it.
Texans do.
Half do, half don't.
I don't know.
The 30 carry under 100 yard bell cow.
All right, but so he's a part of a timeshare next year. I don't want. I don't think I want any parts of him. He's a free agent running back. Eddie Lacy, a free agent running back. I don't think I want no
he's
parts of him.
He's turning into Marion Barber.
I don't think.
Go ahead.
I did a little research for you too during the break.
You're nice,
Mr. Amari Cooper. The best he can be is the 11th wide receiver.
Okay.
Okay. What? So we Scott and I only need what, like five or six? What are the other guys
seven,
here?
I think we do.
Okay.
Let me see if I.
Sorry, I need just. I think you had the research.
I had Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, Baldwin, Cooks, Julio Jones, Devontae Adams, then Amari Cooper.
Well, you didn't say AJ Green.
I didn't say AJ Green, and I didn't say Jarvis Landry.
Sure.
So it pushes him to the middle of the third round.
I still think he's a second round pick. Amari Cooper's a second round pick, in my estimation. I just don't think he's a first round pick.
I don't think he's a second.
Really? You don't think he's a second round pick either? Okay. I don't argue.
Oh, he's a tremendous value in the fourth.
And I didn't. And just to throw two other names that I didn't say out there,
Michael Thomas,
DeAndre,
right?
DeAndre Hop. Yeah, I took. Thomas could be there. That's why I said at best it would be 11.
Okay.
Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Michael Crabtree,
my man.
All right, we'll
I
see.
Took Crabtree out. I'm interested to see what happens with him in next season. Like I said, he dropped a lot of balls this year, and I just think that Amari Cooper could be the better receiver there. But Crabtree, for whatever reason, he's the guy around the goal line, and he's the guy that makes the big plays.
Yes, he is, and that should be forgotten. We shouldn't expect all of a sudden Cooper's touchdowns to just spike, because I don't think it's going to happen, in all honesty.
If he comes to the discount, a third, fourth round discount, I'm in.
I'm in too.
Yeah.
He's not my first round pick, is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, shit.
For the other side of things.
What if we're playing AFC only? Scott, why don't we have those? Why do we have in football AFC and NFC only? We do in baseball.
Because the average fantasy football player doesn't want to complicate things that much.
Yeah, you're right.
We talked about this, Tony. The average fantasy baseball player is much more intense and plays much more at an expert level than the average fantasy football player. Yeah. We're talking about not about us, but the mainstream guy. They don't want to complicate it. They don't want IDPs.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
That's true.
You're not wrong. Other side
if
of
Ron Chandler played fantasy football, he would play IDP.
The Houston Texans defeated
would
the Raiders.
Would he be any good? Would he be any good at fantasy football if he played?
If he's as good as he fantasy baseball. It's
is
like,
he any good at fantasy
like
baseball?
If there was a tout wars at football, I guess, in the flex, I guess the flex is trying to be the tout wars of football.
I've already won one of those. When the last time Ron Chandler won something?
I think it was recently.
Well, I haven't seen his name at the top of the leaderboard in a while.
Do you check the Tout Wars leaderboard?
Yeah, I do. I don't see Ron Chandler there. I see Adam.
You don't have a choice. People tell you all the time who won.
Yeah, I see Adam Ronis. I see Derek Van Riper. I see this little nerdy guy, Paul Sporer. Those are the types that are competing for these crowns in these industry baseball leagues.
What's his name, too? The guy out in Canada that's not...
Oh, Fred Zanke, yeah.
Zanke's
yeah,
good.
Fred Zanke,
Zanke's
yeah.
good. And he makes a million trades during the season, too.
I don't see Ron Chandler. I don't see Peter Kreutzer. I don't see Scott Engel. You know what I'm saying? I don't see these guys' name at the top of the leaderboard.
Unnecessary shot. He's rooting for the Cowboys to lose as well.
This is who he is, though.
He's rooting for the Cowboys to lose.
He's got self-esteem issues. He has to raise himself up by putting each other down. I can't help it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Texans.
You are sorry.
Were led yesterday Saturday night by Lamar Miller's 31 carries, 73 yards, and a touchdown. The Rocket Ship also rushes
that's 2 yards a catch. That's 2.5 yards a pop.
Yes,
for Lamar Miller.
That's right.
I'm never touching him again.
Never. Touching
I
him
got
again.
Back in on it a little bit this year. I said, you know what?
When did you touch him the first time?
Diversify my rosters. I had him on the team this year. I think I took the team. I took Julio in the first round. I took Miller in the second round. I took Watkins in the third round. That team finished dead last.
As it should have. Sorry.
I won a championship with Lamar Miller, though. I picked him. I went David Johnson first round, and Lamar Miller second round.
I think David Johnson.
In spite of Lamar Miller.
I think it had a lot more to do with David Johnson, though, to be
honest.
Well,
the thing that Lamar Miller was, he was able to go out on the field most of the year. He played about 16 games, right? So that helps. You didn't have to reach down to that Matt Asiata level.
Yes. So Scotty, where are you and Lamar Miller next year?
RB2.
RB2. Will you get him as an RB2, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, you'll get him as an RB2.
Really?
Fantasy owners are not going back to this guy.
I don't know about that.
Mm-mm. He plays for Houston. I don't think he sucks.
No, there's no way. You know why you're not going to get him an RB2? Mm. You just talked about the whole bell cow thing. At least you know he's won. That's going to be the decision maker when you get there.
I agree with you. You'll just see he's the bell cow. He gets all the carries. You will 100% talk yourself into this guy as an RB1. 100%. I don't think you can name 11, I don't think you can name 12 running backs better.
I don't want him as a one. I'm not touching him as a one.
All right.
If I'm...
I feel like there's no upside and not enough touchdowns there.
He has to be a two on any of my teams. Has to be. It's no shot that I'm giving him an RB1. Now, can you name 12 running backs who draft ahead of him? I'm pretty sure I probably could.
I'm listening.
All right. You ready?
Yes, sir.
You got David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, Devonta Freeman. That's 6.
Yep.
Gordon, 7. Jordan Howard's 8.
Okay.
Jay Ajayi's 9.
Yep.
Now it gets...
Did you say Gurley?
Would you draft Gurley over
no.
him?
No.
I would.
I didn't say... Okay, so Gurley's 10.
It's comparable.
Would you go Bilal Powell or Matt Forte?
No.
Mm-mm.
No. Would you go LeGarrette Blount?
That's going to be interesting to see what happens with Blount in the offseason.
I would say yes.
Would you say Rawls?
Like it is now. No.
I want to see Rawls finish up strong, but he's only got a game left.
How about Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram.
We're running out of...
Right. We're running out of people there.
No.
Frank Gore?
No.
No.
Carlos Hyde?
Spencer Ware?
Carlos Hyde, yes.
Yes.
It depends on what happens in the offseason if he's ready.
Spencer Ware, no.
How about Isaiah Crowell?
Not over Lamar Miller for me.
They're about the same back, though. Now you got to think Cook and Fournette are going to be. No, they could. They could.
Depending
on where. If Cook ends up as a New York Giant.
Yes.
And you take him over Lamar Miller.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
I hope he ends up as a New York Giant.
Fournette ends up as a Giant. You take him over Lamar Miller.
Oh, my God. What I love for Leonard Fournette. I'd probably buy his jersey.
I wouldn't fool with Doug Martin. The situation in Carolina. We don't know what's going to happen there. A healthy Amir Abdullah?
No,
because you don't know.
No, relax. You know that.
All right, well, I'm playing devil's advocate.
You're reaching now.
Yeah,
you're reaching.
Oh, hey, be careful with LeSean McCoy next year, too. Yeah. Especially if the quarterback's E.J. Manuel. Those running lanes are not going to be open like they were this year.
Right.
A lot of that was due to Tyrod Taylor.
You're still going
to
take him.
No, you still take him. You still take him. Yeah. I'm not. What about Kenneth Dixon?
No.
I think he's going to be in the same backfield.
Mm, yeah.
That's the case, then, though. Yeah, so, yeah, he's about right there. I don't know, how many is that?
11.
11. So he's 12.
That's our magic number today.
Yeah, so he's number one. So he's an RB1.
That's all I was saying.
I just don't. I'm not.
I'll probably let him go if he's on the board, though. And like,
pick a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Can't really argue it. Would that receiver be DeAndre Hopkins, who, as you pointed out, Scott, 5 catches, 67 yards, touchdown, a long 38-yard pass to set up the touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins finally involved here.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not letting one game sway me. You know, as long as Brock Osweiler is still the quarterback, I'm not going to do it.
What if Tony Romo was the quarterback?
Then I would do it.
Yeah, I would
do it. Let me ask you a question about Brock Osweiler.
Yep.
He started 7 games, that's it, for Denver, right? And then he came in this year, he's got a new offense, which is tough to learn. He had a bunch of veterans there before there. Can he be a lot better in his second year?
It's not out of the question.
Hmm.
He's got the talent, but But
People are going to write DeAndre Hopkins off because of that quarterback play, knowing that there weren't great quarterbacks there before, like if he got up to the third round, don't you think DeAndre Hopkins end up being a big steal?
He'll be on a lot of championship teams.
It's a risk.
He had a quarterback
got upside.
Quarterback rating of 72 this year.
You got to be willing to take the gamble.
Completion percentage under 60. The yards under 3,000. The yards per attempt under 6. This is a pitiful, pitiful season of quarterbacking. This guy shouldn't have started 15 games.
Absolutely not.
He should not have started 15 games.
Absolutely not.
Tony makes a point where you think about it twice, but then I think about it a third time, and I still think Brock Osweiler.
Still think what?
That I'm not going to go with Hopkins, you know.
Right. You just eventually remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
He uses lessons from Manning to succeed in playoffs. What about the regular damn season?
He's very bad. He's very, very bad.
You think he's sad behind his performance this year? Or do you think I ain't got all this money, I don't give a shit?
I think he's annoyed. I don't think sad's the right word. He's made a ton of money.
He was down on himself because he was way too fired up with his performance the other day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He was on the sideline acting like he had just won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
His version of it.
All right, now next week, you know.
What, 17 points you just said now?
You know how they say New England always tries to take the other team's best player away? Who are they taking away from Houston?
I would think like DeAndre Hopkins, I guess.
Hopkins. Yeah. But then again, Osweiler might do that anyway.
I think you got to pee on Lamar Miller.
Yeah. I think that's it. And you make them throw the ball. Yeah.
You make them throw the football.
Or say, okay, just screw it. Let's not let Clowney beat us.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's what you should take away.
Yeah.
With J.J. Watt on the other side, that's pretty good, right? Speaking of that, that was really a story of this game, Tony. And you mentioned Twitter, Scott, right?
Yeah.
That was the biggest story I saw on Twitter, was that, they keep showing J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt hasn't played all season. Why do they keep showing J.J. Watt? Were you like? Were you guys annoyed by that? It didn't really bother me.
J.J. Watt is famous. I don't have a problem.
It didn't
with
really
that.
Bother me. I was wondering if you guys were bothered.
No, people on Twitter—they're never very positive. Have you noticed that?
No, Twitter's always a negative place. Always a negative place.
Keyboard Twitter. Warriors, you know, they probably wouldn't say it to people's faces.
Yeah.
No. Tony, what's the Patriots' offensive line on that side? Are they going to have trouble with Clowney this weekend?
Yeah, I think they will. It's interesting. The first game, you remember, Brissett was the
quarterback.
Was the quarterback. They ran for 3 touchdowns in that game, and they ran all over him. But the Houston defense is a lot better now than they were at that point in the season. And Tom Brady's back at the quarterback position. I think you need to look at the tight end, and I think they're going to run a random ball against these guys. And I think you're going to see a little James White action this week.
Why James White over Deion Lewis?
I just think that White is – I think Deion Lewis will actually run the ball a lot. I think that James White will be the pass catcher out of the backfield.
Okay.
You're starting to see Deion Lewis run the ball more.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a good point. All right. Take a break here. Come back. Pittsburgh, Miami's next. Scott, I know you're loving this one. Things really went your way this weekend here. How happy you could be. Seahawks win. Dolphins get crushed. Things all turned up. Angle.
Yeah, but I'm not a big fan of the Steelers anyway.
You hate the Dolphins more.
Yeah,
he might hate the Steelers more.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Joey Porter was so fired up, he went to jail last
night.
We'll talk about that,
Miami fans are like just such of the nastiest people you ever meet.
The Scott Angle Revival Tour 2017 kicked into high gear. We'll talk Steelers and Dolphins next. One more playoff game to get to from the weekend. That was Pittsburgh and Miami. The Steelers defeating the Dolphins 30-12. This one at 0 point was close. At no point at all. Ever.
It was funny because yesterday on the Roto Experts in the Morning weekend edition, George Kurtz said, I got to shovel some snow. I'll probably be in shortly after 1 o'clock. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like 14-0 if like we'll walk back in the house in a quarter after one. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, they were immediately up 14-0 after two Antonio Brown touchdowns.
The one on the screen was, yeah. I mean, that was phenomenal. The way he waited, yeah. the way he waited for the block, got down the sideline, turned on the speed, and you're just sitting there thinking to yourself, this guy is clearly, well, not clearly, this guy could be the best player on the field, but the other best player on the field is in his own backfield. Just dynamic talent on offense from the Pittsburgh Steelers with Antonio and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Ben Roethlisberger brings it all together. Solid W, but they were going to do this against this Dolphin team. It was no answers or buts about this. Now can they go into Kansas City and keep it going? I don't think so. I think Kansas City gets them.
Here's the thing. There's a few interesting angles with this game. Number one, the Dolphins certainly depleted. No starting quarterback. A lot of injuries on defense. It's like they didn't have a chance. Secondly, though, in the playoffs, you play physical. The Steelers' defense played a lot better down the stretch, and they played physical defense last night. They played physical playoff defense. You play that kind of defense, you can stand up to anybody. They were really physical, and Jarvis Landry was the only guy that I saw that matched that sort of physical intensity.
But this week they get a shot, though. They're going up against another physical team. They're going to a hostile environment, the number one home field advantage in the NFL. I just don't think they're going. I don't think they have the chops. I think people tend to sleep on Kansas City, obviously, with Pittsburgh coming out this game as the one-point favorite. This should have easily been Kansas City. So continue to sleep on Kansas City. Kansas City can't do nothing with New England, but I think they get past
but
Pittsburgh in a very good game.
You're the one who always, like, you know, talks about Kansas City never winning in the postseason, and now all of a sudden you're making, like, you know, that this is formidable.
Oh, they can't beat New England, but they can beat this Steeler team.
Who have they beaten in the playoffs with Alex Smith, though? You've said it yourself before.
Who have they beaten in the playoffs? Houston? Well, when you have to play
with
New England.
T.J. Yates?
You have to play New England, Scott. It's different.
But you're playing the Steelers, though, here.
The way you used to
talk about Kansas City is like, you know, especially when Mike Cardano would bring up their record about, you know, how they dink and dunk. Yeah, and you know they're not going to win nothing in the playoffs. Now all of a sudden, that is formidable foe for Kansas City.
Scott, they can get past Pittsburgh at home. That team, that disciplined, stout team. We're going to talk about how undisciplined Pittsburgh is. They're going to have a situation, a story.
They're so undisciplined that their assistant going to get arrested.
Yeah, the assistant damn coach. You know what I mean? Mike Tomlin, get it together.
I just don't
with that
understand
bunch.
Why you're changing your angle.
You're
going to
hear about this.
Sudden.
I'm not changing my angle.
You are. You always talked about how Alex Smith can't win in the playoffs.
He can beat Pittsburgh, but he can't go. See, when you're going to New England, Alex Smith has to make a play. He's not going to make a play to beat the Patriots. He can make. They can give it to Ware
if Roethlisberger
and Tyreek Hill and
game,
Travis Kelce.
What kind of plays can he make to keep up with
when
that?
When last time Roethlisberger had a decent game on the road? Not to mention going into the most intimidating environment in football.
When was the last time Alex Smith had a good playoff game against a good opponent?
What I'm telling you is I don't look at this Pittsburgh Steelers as a good opponent.
I don't know. I would write them off. Not the way they played defense yesterday.
The whole key to this game is Le'Veon Bell. The Kansas City Chiefs have let up 5 out of the last 6 games over 100 yards rushing in 5 of the last 6 games. They let up 101 to Denver, 105 to Atlanta, 132 to Oakland, 150 to Tennessee, 87 to Denver, and then 138 to San Diego with, I don't even know who was in running back for the job, Ronnie Hillman?
Andre Williams, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are alarming numbers down the stretch for the Chiefs defense.
Absolutely. But one thing we have to do remember, though, coming off a bye, Andy Reid's very, very good, right? You give him that extra week. He's got that history of being prepared. Now, this is a little different than the normal bye week because you know your opponent, so you have the extra week. He didn't know his opponent this time, although you could assume it was in Pittsburgh. But
I bet you they prepared for Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's what I'm just saying. You didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
But there. Pittsburgh, Kansas City, it's a matchup we kind of expected. It's gonna be good. I also like KC here, Corey, for the record. I think the rush defense has been terrible. You're totally right, Tony. It's going to be all Le'Veon Bell. But Roethlisberger has struggled, and he's got this foot injury, evidently, that could be worrisome.
I was surprised at how well Pittsburgh played yesterday. It was a weak Miami team, and they should have, but I was really surprised at how well they played. Because the one thing is Pittsburgh hasn't stopped the run against they're just as bad. I mean, they're worse, I mean, against the run. So Spencer Ware is going to be another guy that's going to be looked, and he's going to have to try to step up in this contest because that's the way to beat the Steelers is with the running game. And Jay Ajayi couldn't do it yesterday. The Steelers did everything they could. They weren't worried about Matt Moore. I don't think they could sell out against Alex Smith. He's capable enough to exploit him. If they had nine guys in the box at times yesterday.
Look, it wouldn't shock me if Kansas City won, but I think it'd be close. In Pittsburgh, I like them better from a personnel perspective. You talk about Spencer Ware against that defense. And to your previous points, Corey, when they beat Houston last year, that was Kansas City's first postseason win in 22 years.
Okay. You're going to put all 22 years on Alex Smith? This is a team that's been...
You used to say Alex Smith couldn't take him nowhere.
He can take him to the AFC Championship, Scott, in a down year in the AFC.
Look, it wouldn't shock me if Kansas City won. You know, they're well coached. They're at home. But I think from a pure matchup and personnel perspective, I like Pittsburgh better. But Pittsburgh doesn't play well on the road.
Pittsburgh has better individual talent. Kansas City is a team.
Yeah. That's a good way to say it.
I also, like I said, I also like Kansas City in this game. I think everyone's going to be on Pittsburgh, given what we just saw, the offensive output. And they're going to forget. I said this to you last week.
What about the defense, though? Look how well the defense played.
I'm not worried about Pittsburgh's defense. I'm not.
They played
much better the second half of the season.
Yeah.
So okay. So they win. What do they go? What does that defense go into New England and do? Get their ass handed to them? Yeah.
Lose.
Yeah. Must be nice to be a New England fan, Tony.
What do you mean? I mean, it's kind of crazy when you're expected to, you know, just walk all over. Like I saw some tweets yesterday calling the New England Patriots Invitational for the AFC.
I mean, it's funny.
It's the AFC. If they were in, now, if the Patriots were in the NFC. They wouldn't. They would.
Tougher.
No,
it would be tougher. You know, Seattle's a problem. The Green Bay is a problem. Dallas, and then Atlanta is a team that maybe actually legit this year. At least I think so. So
the Patriots are the best team in football, but overall the NFC is better.
Yeah, no question about that.
A lot better. I think it's a lot better.
I would think that the four teams left would all give New England like a game. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And the teams that got eliminated in the NFC this week, they would have probably the Giants would have gave New England a game.
Yeah.
And then Detroit would have just about beat everybody playing this weekend except Pittsburgh.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So it's going to be a good game. Let's go over the stats here quickly from the Dolphins and the Steelers. Yeah, Antonio Brown caught 5 passes, 124 and 2, including 62-yard touchdown. Le'Veon Bell ran 29 times, 167-2.
Steelers record.
Steelers
breaking Franco Harris's mark.
You know what the most absurd thing is, though? And you saw it. We saw it all year long, Tony. And it just highlighted because it's the playoffs. This dude literally just stops. He stops. Lets the hole open and then goes. We have never seen anything like
the most complete running back from a pure talent perspective in the NFL.
He stops on a dive. Like, he literally doesn't move. He takes
and he
ball.
Breaks tackles too.
And he just explodes through the line, Tony.
Here's the I got to tell you something. This kid is a special kid. I actually tweeted out yesterday that Le'Veon Bell, he must love foreplay because
I saw that. I laughed at that. It was funny
to hit the hole, right? But nobody else. You could if you had a running back that you were coaching and he did that. You would yell at him. You would go, there's nowhere else that you allow this to happen. But here's the one thing that it told me that this kid's a real football player. He said that in practice that he goes and covers Antonio Brown, that he doesn't do the walkthrough. He basically covers Antonio Brown so he can learn how to run good proper routes. This tells that's the stuff I love to hear from superstars.
Sure.
Yeah. Not I'm going to get on this boat.
Or how about pick up his joint?
Okay.
Well, if you're smoking a joint watching film of your porn.
Le'Veon Bell and his recreational pot smoke, we know it's a
You can't call one out, I'll call the other out, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
But Le'Veon Bell... He, like I said, I watched the Giants, right? And I watched Paul Perkins and Rashad Jennings, for instance. And they get the ball, and they just run right into the line, and they fall down. And Le'Veon Bell, in the same situation, would just stop. He would look, and he would go. And He is unlike any running back I've ever seen like that. I'm not saying he's as good as, let's say, Barry the Sanders, Ladainian Tomlinson, or anything like that.
Yeah,
I've just never seen
that's
this.
The comparison,
in terms of
right?
the all-around back, I've never seen like that. You know, with running, being a complete runner, you know, with the stop and start and
yep.
the juke and the
yep.
cutback
yep.
and the breaking tackles and catching passes out of the backfield. You know, I've been watching football a long time in terms of the versatility.
Right.
You know, Emmitt Smith was maybe the best running back I ever saw, but
okay.
and he caught passes out of the backfield, but not to the level that Le'Veon Bell does.
Insane.
You don't think Barry Sanders was the closest to him, though?
Barry wasn't a pass catcher, and he wasn't as good.
Well, he was on a very bad team.
He wasn't as good as the goal line. That was the one knock on Barry Sanders, like he couldn't run near the goal line in short space. Because of the style of his game, when everything got compressed, he wasn't as effective.
The closest that I see, and I could be wrong about this, because again, you guys saw a lot more Barry Sanders than I did. But the closest that I see Barry Sanders is LeSean McCoy with the cutback ability. Like that's the comparison that I make.
I don't compare him to McCoy because Barry Sanders could be 5 yards in the backfield and make everybody miss with a variety of moves, not just the cutback.
Okay.
The funniest thing that about Barry Sanders that I remember is that he would lose more yards than any other running back
yeah.
playing it, because he would juke around, and his team was so bad.
I mean,
it was terrible. He would juke around, and he'd have a lot of -5, -6, and -4, and then he would bang off that 40-yard run.
Sure. That's a good point. JJ yesterday, 16 carries, 33 yards. Not much.
Nothing he can really
I like him.
You like him?
I like it. He was fired up yesterday. Like he,
yeah,
that wasn't
Matt
for
Moore
lack
took
of
that
effort.
Big hit, yeah.
Like he was after people and he was running hard, but there was just no holes. Like
no,
they
weren't.
Just stuffed him.
Pittsburgh sold out against the run and said, "Let's Matt Moore beat us," and it worked. Jay Ajayi, I think when people break it down, they'll look at the inconsistency in the game logs, but I still like him. I think he's the next Steven Jackson.
So, if you think that, Tony, you said you like him, where are you going to be comfortable taking him? I know before the playoffs, you told me the beginning of the third round. Has
yeah.
that changed?
Now, who was the player? Lamar Miller. I would take him ahead of Lamar Miller, right? So, I would take him the probably the eighth or ninth back.
Would you take him before or after Melvin Gordon?
After Melvin Gordon.
Me too.
Okay. Okay. So, I know those three guys were we talked about a little bit.
That'll be close, though. Yeah, that's
really close.
Be
very
close.
Okay.
You'd have to base it off of this year, and you look at Melvin Gordon game
right.
to game, he's more consistent.
Sure. But then again.
See, the only negative with Melvin Gordon, though, I think his yards per carry is one of the worst in the league.
It's awful. Absolutely
yeah.
awful.
Yeah. So San Diego's offense is going to have to be as good as they were this year for him to even come close. I mean, I'll tell you what, when we do these shows next year before the season, we talk about regression, Melvin Gordon's name's going to come up a lot because you're going to say, oh, you can't
yep.
count on those touchdowns. I mean, think about it. What do you have, 13 touchdowns, 14 touchdowns this year? He had zero the year before.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's going to probably be somewhere in the middle, right, Tony?
And he should be locked into most first rounds, just about the back of most first rounds. He's going to be the player most likely to bust.
Melvin Gordon?
Oh, yeah. By the way, Corey, you know who tweeted after Antonio Brown scored his touchdown and said, AB, see you later?
Who?
Andrew McCutcheon.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
What about Jarvis Landry next year? 11 catches, 102 here. I know Matt Moore was a quarterback, not Ryan Tannehill. But Jarvis Landry's another interesting name because I don't know.
He is what he is.
He is what he is. Yeah.
He is what he is. He's not going to. He didn't get in the end zone yesterday.
Yeah, no, he did not.
Yeah,
no, he did not.
He's going to get a lot of catches.
He is what
and
he
he's
is.
He's tough, yeah. but he's not going to. He's the only guy that I saw that matched the physical intensity of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I agree yesterday. With that. I totally yeah. agree with that. And
speaking yes. of physical intensity, it's no way in hell that Matt Moore was not concussed.
No chance. How do they figure that out after one play?
Yeah.
And the whole protocol took one play.
Yeah, but he laid on the ground for motionless for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Then 6 minutes, like, oh, yeah, I can go back in now. You mean to tell me this guy wasn't concussed?
Yeah.
He took it right on the chin.
He took it in the jaw.
Yeah. Kind of the same thing.
He said he had a back injury. What was hurting him after that? I'll tell you right
probably,
now.
His back was probably hurt, too.
He probably confused his back and his head.
Throughout the whole body. Bud Dupree laid a hit on him, boy.
This is the hardest thing ever, is like, you know what, the NFL's trying to do the right thing, but there are not standards in place where it's followed the same every time. Thomas Rawls, I was talking about the Seattle game, he got dinged in the head, and he yelled at the doctor a little bit and got back in the field in one play.
Yeah, you see?
You know why? Because I hear from Tier Whitehead, he launched into the defender.
Right.
He doesn't care. Yeah. He's like, let me go out there and do it again.
Sure.
But I'm just saying the protocol is not in place. Like, Michael Crabtree was immediately taken off the field in the other game, and they didn't let him return. I'm not saying he could have or not, but neither of those players left the field.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's interesting. You know, you've seen a couple of times situations. The Javontez Burfict comes up a couple of, in the regular season when he took a helmet to helmet hit, and he went and you know he went in and told that trainer, you better stop playing with me before I eat your children. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And he went right back in the game. So it was like I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, who's going to be the quarterback? Then I was like, it's going to be Matt Moore because. Then he's not going to leave.
T.J. Yates came in with one handoff.
He might as well play concussed, Matt Moore.
Yeah. Matt Moore, T.J. Yates, you're right, almost came back.
I will say this about the Dolphins, though. They were very depleted yesterday. That team did win 9 of its final 11, so there's hope for the future for them.
If Denver would have snuck in, that would have gave you another legit team in the AFC.
Sure.
With some star power, yep. That's got some playoff experience, a good defense.
But they didn't.
They didn't make it, but that would have been
the Dolphins did earn their playoff spot as badly as they played.
Yep.
If Miami has a couple linemen and two cornerbacks, that team's going to be pretty good next year.
And you know what's interesting about that, Tony? They have offensive linemen. They have quarterbacks. It doesn't hurt, right? Like, you just need guys to get healthy and get reinforcements, and they're going to be
good.
Their
back seven was, like, littered with injuries. You know, they're missing both their starting safeties and Byron Maxwell. They had injuries at linebacker. You look at the Dolphins, you look at all the bad defensive stats. They won a lot of close games this year. They won 8 straight games in which it was decided 7 points or less.
Miami, I think, is a team that's on the rise. I feel good about the Giants, too, as a team on the rise. And they'll be back, both these teams. I really do.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll transition a little bit, play a game about some baseball stuff, and we'll get some final thoughts, Wild Card Weekend. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Having a little wild card weekend talk. 4 games, 4 bad games. A bad weekend of football.
Cold weekend of football.
It was.
Michael Irvin.
It was
a profitable
weekend of football.
Yes, it was.
Michael Irvin tweeted yesterday before the first game. He goes, man, when it was cold out there, we were cold.
I saw that.
Breaking.
Michael, sometimes. Sometimes I feel like he might not have... gave up the old lifestyle.
No, Mike. Sometimes you'll catch Michael Irvin on these shows, and you'll be like, come on, Mike. You still getting down like that? You too old for that now.
Yeah, when he gets all, like, really over-animated on Mike NFL Network.
I mean, one morning he came on Dan Patrick. I was like, oh, God, they need to take him off. This guy's banged up.
He's, like, sweating, and it's, like, 10 degrees out.
They have some long nights, though. I heard sometimes they come to the studio right from the spot.
Really?
Yeah. Because then you got to understand, on the West Coast, they're on TV very early.
Very early, right. My lord was what, 50, still going on the spot? he's still going to bottomless night?
I don't know if he's doing all of that, but it's probably more premium now.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is he married?
Yeah.
Huh?
Is Michael Irvin married?
He's probably married, yeah. I think Michael Irvin is married.
I was wondering.
Yeah, but you can have work events when you're married. Yeah, when you're married, you know, work events.
Yeah. It's Michael Irvin. Oh, I can't tell you that story.
Oh, please, come on!
No, it involves somebody we know.
Okay, that maybe off the air? Can you do that? Off
the
air? Okay. I wanted to go around the table here. Final thoughts, Wildcard Weekend, what you liked, you didn't like. Just give you a final summation, if you will. Scotty, let me start with you. Final impression.
I kind of said that already about like how Randall Cobb, Thomas Rawls, and DeAndre Hopkins all stepped up when they've been very disappointing all year. And Randall Cobb just tweeted out, it must be very scary to watch us. And that's the thing I think you have to remember when you're playing fantasy football. These guys can turn into dud next week very easy. They're gonna tease us. This is why Corey Parson can't get closure on certain guys because, you know, the talent is still there.
him tweeting this, it must be scary to watch us. That kind of seals his fate right there.
Sure
you know
does.
What I'm saying?
Sure
because
does.
Yeah, you've been quiet the majority of the season. Good to see that the referees didn't take over. But definitely a dull week of football, first weekend of NFL football. Even the one we dubbed as the main event ended up not being good at all with the Giants and the Packers. I think you come out of this weekend, you look at the people going to point to the Packers and the Steelers as teams that could, you know, beat that other teams that are playing wild card weekend that could go further. But you knew that coming into the weekend. But I think we see the big dogs get out there next week, and I think we see some much better football. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
So,
I think superstars win games. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Aaron Rodgers, the big players came up at big times. When teams didn't have their big player come up, they're going golfing.
For me, we talked a lot this year about, you know, defenses winning championships. I said this kind of earlier on. This was the year that there wasn't really a dominant defense. The Texans were. Broncos are a very good defense. The Texans have a good defense. The Giants have a good defense. I'm more than confident that the one good defense remaining being the Houston Texans, that good offense this year will beat good defense. That you needed to have the offense to get that far this year.
Dallas isn't playing bad defense.
No, they're not. But we're not talking about Dallas' defense, right? Like, they're there because of Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott. I'm not saying Dallas' defense is bad. I'm really not. But they're not the dominant force, right? Like, they're not, like, making Aaron Rodgers shaking his boots here.
I don't think there's no defense that's making Aaron Rodgers shake in his boots.
No, but if you face Denver from last year, that's an amazing defense facing, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I'm going to say Dallas.
There's no defense
there's
like
no
that.
There's no shutdown defense left in the playoffs.
There's not. And this is the year about good offense, about the quarterback, and about the offense. And that's kind of my takeaway here, Wild Card Weekend. Every game really went how we expected. I know you guys all picked the Packers to win. After all the road teams won, all the home favorites win, no game was good. Hopefully this weekend, which is my estimation, the best weekend of football of the year, hopefully things go well.
And I think it will be. Right quick, I'm seeing where Mike Vrabel is interviewing to be the Rams head coach.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel is a future head coach for sure.
Really?
Yeah, Mike Vrabel is the linebackers coach now of Houston?
Houston Texans, he's a Romeo Crennel guy back from where he played. And, of course, he's caught touchdowns in Super Bowls.
Yeah, he'll be free after this week, too.
Yeah, he'll be free after this week, too. Yeah, Mike Vrabel, out-of-the-box choice, but I know a lot of people like Mike Vrabel going forward as a head coach. So
probably not like him as a player.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Everybody said that the Rams are going for this big-time, big-name guy.
Doesn't seem like it's happening.
It seems like they're playing it, you know.
I'm also getting a little nervous about this Kyle Shanahan thing, where he's going to end up. I don't know where he's going to go, Tony.
You don't think it's Denver?
Oh, so that was my first choice. That was my, you know, I obviously said all along here, but I read John Elway's tweet afterwards, because, you know, like, all leaders have to tweet these days. And he's basically saying, oh, Kyle Shanahan has a bright future ahead of him, definitely a future head coach. That didn't make me feel like he's a future head coach of my team.
You know, it made me feel like he's going to do a good job somewhere else.
Yes. Exactly.
I read a couple things where he's, you know, it would hesitate me to hire him.
Okay.
Is that, you know, he's into his own thing, and it seemed like, and you like to have that confidence, but when you haven't had a head coaching job, it made me a little worrisome.
That's reasonable. I think that's reasonable.
It is.
Yes?
And speaking of worrisome, I forgot who the broadcasters on the AFC game yesterday.
Jim Nance
and Phil Simms.
Hello, friends.
They were talking about head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how Todd Haley is not a hot name. Right. And they didn't know why. I'm like, because Todd Haley's an effing asshole who everybody
hates?
They
sugarcoated it. No, I remember that, too. They did a great, like, that's why people hate broadcasters at that level, because they're so full of shit. Everybody knows why Todd Haley is. Like, if you bring it up, why bring it up if you're not going to tell the truth?
You can't tell the truth. People hate Todd Haley. Everybody he's worked with hates him. That's why he's not going to be a head coach.
That's a good answer. Good answer.
Ben Roethlisberger hated him. Ben Roethlisberger hated him. Terrell Owens hated him. Anquan Boldin hated him. I mean, the list goes on of people that hate Emmanuel Sanders didn't like Todd Haley.
But that's the difference between now and 20 years ago, right? You didn't have to like your coach 20 years
ago,
right?
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh.
And he was a dictator for the most part. But now you have to be a guy that has to everyone playing together. Where, like, everything's changed so much.
Mm.
That's very funny.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson had quite the reputation as a dictator.
Yeah, but the players
if you win,
liked him.
You get away with it because Bill Belichick really doesn't care if you like him or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember the biggest dictator in NBA history, Tony? Hubie Brown.
Oh, Hubie really knows basketball better than anyone.
He did, but like
anyone ever.
He was like whip cracker.
Yeah. Very interesting. We'll think more coaching.
Very interesting analogy. Used by the king.
A whipcracker in the NBA. King, are you sending subliminal messages to the audience?
No. I'm saying he used to have these crackers, you know, put, like Whip on them. This guy,
he didn't coach the Celtics. The Celtics had all the crackers.
That's true.
Go to break.
Yeah, we're going to go to break. We're going to go to break. We're going to do that. We'll talk more NFL coaches, changes, talk baseball, basketball, coming up in the third hour of the program. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning rolls on after this. Here on the Roto Experts, Scott Engel, Tony Zagata, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman, hanging out with you on a Monday morning. I feel like we're juiced this Monday morning, which is good. We got a nice break, nice 2 days off. We're back. Yeah, I know you guys were on the radio yesterday, but
We haven't talked about Joey Porter yet.
Well, look at Joey Porter.
Before we do that, though, Scott Van Pelt just tweeted: the Cowboys had a stripper flop house and won 3 of 4 Super Bowls, but an off day boat trip is why New York lost. Got it.
As I said, not the reason, just bad luck.
And it ain't the reason
they
won.
Up with this?
What's talking up about with the White? Talking about the White House, the Cowboys' legendary famed White House.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever go to the White House?
No.
I don't think they have tours.
We work with somebody that's been there.
You got to tell me the story.
We used to work with somebody that's been to the White House.
You got to tell me the story during the break.
To the Dallas Cowboys.
I was so excited
to the
this.
Dallas Cowboy White House. Tony knows who it is, right?
Yeah,
come
absolutely.
On, Greg. You should know who it is. Who is the people that we work with?
I'm not going to name names.
Oh, okay.
That's not nice.
Could have been part of the Fantasy Cup.
Yeah, could have been.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Common sense.
That seemed obvious.
Yeah.
I didn't hear any stories, though.
I got one.
All right, I'll tell you. We'll talk during the break. You want to talk about Joey Porter, Corey?
Yeah. This is, you know, you can't say, I'm not going to go Terry Bradshaw route and say that Mike Tomlin's a cheerleader, right?
Not a cheerleader.
He has no control over
None.
This team.
Yes.
This is the undisciplined football team. You saw it with the helmet hit yesterday. It's the way they play. We've seen it with Bell, with Le'Veon Bell. We've seen it with the other drug suspensions. We've seen how they play, how they acted down the stretch last year. And then after a playoff victory, one of the damn coaches gets arrested having an altercation with a cop. What is Mike
Tomlin?
One of the damn coaches. What the hell is Mike Tomlin
doing?
Well,
Joey Porter was a Bill Cowher guy, though, too.
What do you mean?
You know, he played under Bill Cowher.
Yeah, but
he was still a lunatic back then.
But he was hired by Mike Cowher.
Yeah, he was hired by Mike Tomlin. He's on Mike Tomlin's coaching staff.
Yes, sir.
Well, here's the devil's advocate, though. Mike Tomlin's winning, though, so.
But Joey Porter can't get arrested after the game. Can't do that. No. You don't think it's a big deal?
Due to an unruly customer who's in the process of assaulting the doorman.
I'm not surprised that Joey Porter got in trouble.
I am.
Because he's a damn coach, Scott. It's the playoffs.
When he was coaching for the Cardinals, he used to be flipping out on the field.
Yeah, but this is off the field right here. This is not good. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This is Joey Porter.
Mike Tomlin has to get control of this organization.
He's got
to.
What about people who would say Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl?
No one will dispute that.
He wins.
When? A decade ago?
How long ago
Tom
was
Coughlin,
it? How long ago was
Tom
it?
Tom Coughlin won 2.
And he's fired.
How long ago was it that he won? Like what?
A decade
eight
ago.
Years ago?
A decade ago,
like
I think. Yeah.
The problem is the Steelers just will never change.
No, the Steelers are not going to do
three
that.
In their fridge. Anywhere else, he would be under huge speculation, and people would be getting tired of
even
that.
With
he
the winning.
Did he trip some money, too, Mark Tomlin?
What was that guy's name? That guy used to catch a lot of long bomb touchdown passes. That was the only thing he would do.
That's one Devery of the craziest things in the history.
No, not Devery
Henderson. On the Steelers?
In the history of the NFL. That's how bad it is.
On the Steelers?
On the Ravens.
On the Torrey Smith?
Not Torrey Smith.
No, it wasn't Torrey Smith. It was...
Like, he was like a Ted Ginn type. Like, he would always catch these long touchdowns. It'd be his only catch for the game. Huh?
On the Ravens?
He played, he played for Baltimore.
Yeah, because that was when he tripped them.
Oh, man, he played
Mike
for Baltimore.
Mike Tomlin tripped Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones scored too often as a receiver, though. You would have said special teams. I would have.
Nah, he caught a couple of Ted Ginn type long touchdown passes.
What do you mean? He caught the big one in the Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm saying, though, I'm just talking about amount of what he did during the regular season.
He used to do that crazy dance when he scored, too. That's how I remember Jacoby Jones.
Was he on Dancing with the Stars,
You would have said Houston, I would have got that.
You know what he did? He was on Dancing with the Stars, Jacoby Jones.
You would have said Houston. I remember him a lot in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. But he got tripped when he's on the Ravens.
I remember when he was a hot thing in fantasy. Oh, you better watch out for Jacoby Jones. He could become that number two guy across from Andre Johnson.
For like
50
years, he was the hot thing.
Yeah.
But honestly speaking, though, Mike Tomlin, Tony's right. Anywhere but Pittsburgh, they'd have been like, all right, you got to do something.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, they would have let it go.
That's true, too. They buy it like, well, we're not going to pay nobody else. But Mike Tomlin make a good piece of change, though. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. He certainly does. Who do you think... Corey.
Yo.
Who do you think... Does anything happen to Joey Porter here?
No. He might...
Internally?
Tomlin will say they're going to handle the situation internally. Handling the situation internally is going to be like, yo, you got to do a better job.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Good talk, see you out there.
Yeah, next.
Seriously, that's it?
Yeah, I don't see him, you know what I mean?
How do the players be like, all right, Joey can go get arrested, but double standard.
The guy that Mike Tomlin has to figure out a way to get a control of this situation.
Fantasy numbers ain't going to change.
No, they're not. We take a break. When we come back, we start a little more baseball talk. Baseball's on the way. We break down one of my favorite categories. Coming up next. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on Demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.